for standing in respect to the reading of the Word of God. I want us to think about that phrase for a moment, holy, follow, or following holy. Caleb said that he was 40 years old when Moses sent the spies out into the land from Kadesh Barnea to go into the land of Canaan and spy it out. There was 12 of them. And when they returned, those 10 spies gave a report that reads like this out of the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Boy, they painted a dismal picture. I mean, these 10 spies convinced 1.5 million, if that's how many come out of there. There's many different estimates of how many came out of Egypt when they left the land. But those 10 spies were able to convince the people that they could not win the battle. And they wanted to return back into that area. And so Joshua began to remind, Caleb began to remind Joshua. He said, 40 years ago, 45, he said, I'm 85 now. And he said, 40 years ago, this is what was happening. And he said then that in the book of Numbers, he said he wholly followed him. And now in chapter 14 here in Joshua, we find three times that very fact that he reminded him, I wholly followed the Lord. And of course, Joshua also was one who said, we can win. But again, 10 spies. And I begin to think about that, how that a lack of faith will dampen a Christian's life. It will dampen it. That's why it's so important that you as an individual and I as an individual make sure of those that are around us, because it doesn't take much to discourage you. I tell the men, I said, when you get out of here, you better find a good fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, devil-hating, Christ-honoring, sin-exposing, soul-winning church. If they don't, the recidivism rate is not easy. 29% of the men and women that get out of prison today in the state of Missouri are headed back within 1 year. 29%. It doesn't get better. 87% end back up in prison or back in trouble within less than 4 years. That's a sad figure. When you begin to think the 32,000 that we have in prison now, probably around 24,000 of those are returnees. That's a sad statistic. So something's wrong someplace. And it boils down to the fact of wholly following the Lord. And that's got to be exactly what it takes. Is if you get with the wrong crowd, and I wrote a booklet called Old Friends, and it shows how that if you go back and start running with that old crowd, I don't care if you're a Christian that's lived in the prison for X number of years, if you go back to that old crowd, you're going to be just like they are. In fact, if you read the book of Proverbs very long, it says, don't make friendship with an angry man or a furious man. Thou shalt not go, because he says, you will be like him. And that's what happens so many times in an institutional setting. And so there's got to be a commitment in an individual's life that they're going to have to wholly follow the Lord. And it's got to be in your life. Do you know Daniel? Remember Daniel? In chapter 1, it says he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat and the wines and things like that. In other words, he could not do the things they was doing because he was a Jewish boy that was taught righteousness and godliness. And so you can read the first chapter, but the thing is, he purposed in his heart. You can have a mindset and go wrong, but it better be from the heart if you want to serve God. And if you look at Daniel's life, in chapter 1, he's probably just a young teenager, maybe between the ages of 15 and 18, but he's just a young person. Well, in chapter 6 of Daniel, you'll find again that now he's being selected as a president along with three others, and there was competition there. And he'd already been under three different kings, living in an ungodly society, Babylon. Boy, it's, if you read any history on Babylon, it is an ungodly situation. And so here Daniel is in the midst of all of this. But it says that when the decree was made that they could not ask anything of anybody but the king, Daniel, knowing that this writing was done, went back to his room where he always was, and it says he prayed three times a day, and as his habit was, he went right back there. And of course, these other men that set him up, they knew that, so they watched. Well, sure enough, it didn't make Daniel any difference. He was going to live for God. He was going to pray regardless of what happened. He knew that his God would take care of him. Well, we know he got turned in and he got thrown into the lion's den. Of course, we know that he made it through it. Next morning, got up. The king came down there, and Daniel said, "Yep, I'm still here." The thing I want to point out is, He was 17 years old at that point when he got put into Babylon, lived under these different kings, and now is in the lion's den, and he is 84 years old. 67 years of wholly following the Lord. Now, you and I are going to have some decisions to make in the days ahead, because we're entering into a time that is so uncertain about America's direction that there are going to be some decrees that are signed that you and I are going to have to make some decisions about, such as it will come to the point that because if the government says that you've got to accept gay marriages, what will it do to your constitution in the church? Because we've got it wrote in our constitution that homosexuality is a sin. And you know what's going to happen? They'll either close your doors or say you cannot continue to meet with that constitution. You need to make up your mind that you are going to follow wholly the Lord Jesus. Yes, your pastor, me, other Bible-believing, devil-hating, Christ-honoring pastors, we may be on the inside looking out, because they are in the process, even now in Canada, of arresting preachers that preach against homosexuality. I'm telling you, we're going to have to face some real difficult times in the days ahead. And you and I, as believers, we need to realize that, hey, I've got to make some decisions. Now, Caleb said over in Numbers 14:24, Joshua said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He said, because that you followed me, Moses talking, I'm going to give you that land. He had a reputation of following the Lord regardless whether the people, you know, they was ready to stone him and Joshua. They wanted to stone him and get rid of him and say, we're going to elect a new leader and we're going back to the old place back in Egypt and live like we used to. Well, how in the world are they going to cross the Red Sea? They can't go back. God's not going to open up the Red Sea again so they can go back where he took them from. And so they didn't think about what the consequences were going to be. But Joshua and Caleb said, hey, we're going to follow the Lord. And so 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Everybody over the age of 20 died in that wilderness during that 40 years. Boy, take your calculator sometime and spin that around in there a while and find out how many people had to die. It was probably over 1 million that were over the age of 20. And so figure out how many people had to die in those 40 years in order for God to allow the 20-year-olds to finally go in, except for Caleb and Joshua. They was 85 years old when they went in. And so it made a difference because they followed wholly the Lord. And so you and I, as an individual, with the situations that we're facing in America today, and we talked about that a little bit this morning and in the message of Reality Check, what are some things we need to do to follow wholly the Lord? And I want us to think about that. First of all, you've got to examine yourself. Who are you following? Think about that for a moment. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. For 28 years, I fooled people. When I joined the Independent Baptist Church in Yukon, Florida, I convinced them I was saved. Well, yeah, I got baptized down in Texas. We went to a church, and well, we knew things weren't right. And so we went to church, and we went forward, and the pastor said, he didn't ask me whether I was saved or not. He said, have you been baptized? And this is an Independent Baptist church. And I said, yeah, I was. I was about 10 days old when I got baptized. He said, that don't count. He said, you just wet. Well, I said, okay, what do we need to do? He said, well, we need to go get baptized. And so I got dunked that day. Well, I convinced him I was saved, I guess, because that's what they did. Well, we joined the church in Yukon, Florida. And some way we convinced the pastor there. But the longer I sat under the preaching of the Word of God, this old boy realized, hey, you're on your way to hell. I even stopped. We lived about, from here to the house over there from the church in a trailer. And I even stopped from between the house and the trailer, and there was a cement block there. And I knelt down and I said, God, I don't think I'm saved. I said, just come into my heart. I got up and said, oh, I'm okay. I didn't truly mean it. But boy, on February 21st, 1968, I did. And I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that, hey, I've got Jesus living in my heart. And so I determined then that I'm going to start living for the Lord. And my wife got saved the same night, and we've been living for the Lord over these 47 years. So you've got to examine your life and see. Ask yourself seriously the question, if I died today, do I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am going to heaven? Because we don't know when the next step's going to be. But in Christ, I know what my next step's going to be. And so I'm assured beyond the shadow of a doubt that I know I'm saved. Not because I think so, but God said so. And so examine yourself whether you are. You know, the old way of life is described in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Now we're talking about following holy. But notice what Paul said. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hey, that was my old life. And it's the life of every sinner without Christ. Is they're walking in the footprints of the devil. And so we've got to make a decision. Look at your life and see, am I really saved? John, writing in 1 John chapter 2, said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So following holy is the very fact of that, hey, I'm going to walk like Jesus walked. I'm not going to deviate. We sing that song every once in a while where it's called No Turning Back, No Turning Back. That's a decision you need to make as a Christian. Am I going to turn back when things get going in our nation against the believer? Today, you can just mark it down. Things that are good are bad. The things that are bad are good. We're seeing laws like that passed over and over. And you and I are going to have to make a decision. Are we going to live wholly for Him? If my God is not able to keep me under situations that do not look good to you and I, is my God able to lead us through it? Absolutely. My God is able to deliver you and I. And we've got to realize that. And when you become, when you begin to realize that, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus, you can be assured that you're going to be tested, but I'm living for Him and not for my country. Oh, don't say that I don't love my country. I fought for it for 20 years. I love that flag. I love my country. But it sure is on a fast road to hell. But I'm still not going to move to someplace else because I believe God's able to change this country to live for Him. And you and I are going to have to stick around in order for that to become a reality. Amen. Now, how should I live my Christian life? Well, let's go to the book of Ephesians, and let's just take a look at some things today about following holy. As you turn there, Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, and chapter 15 and verse 58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. He's talking to Christians because he says, brethren. And so that's the condition that you and I need to know. And he's got a place for you. Do you know it? He's already laid out direction. He said in the book of Psalms, chapter 40 and verse 2, he said, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and established my goings." He's already got it laid out for each of us what direction he wants. And guess what? That direction is very narrow. Do you know the kind of direction the devil gives you? When you're under his control, it don't make any difference. If you don't like the narrowness of his road, he'll take your drugs from marijuana and he'll make them a little tougher. You see, his way, it's his broad way, is always expandable. It always widens so that you as an individual are capable of walking in that situation. He says that's the broad way. Well, the Bible says that God's way is narrow. And God's way is not expandable. Because that word straight indicates there are pillars there that cannot be moved. And therefore, you're going to have to walk the straight and narrow way. And so we must realize what road that we're on. Are we ready to walk his way, or are we going to do it our way? And I hope you'll determine you want the straight way, because it's narrow. But it sure got him on there with you. And so let's think about this for a moment. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Six times in the book of Ephesians, the word walk is used. But that first walk is in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It talks about following the devil and the way of the world. But now I'm talking about Christians' walks. Notice verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Notice he says, "We are his workmanship." We can't do it on our own. We need him. And so he's very careful about what he says there in chapter 2 and verse 10. Notice that. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, what kind of work did Jesus do? He said, "We're his workmanship." What kind of works did he do? Well, keep your finger in Ephesians because we're coming back there, but look at chapter 9 and verse 4 of John and see what kind of works that he's laid out. Notice, he says, "I must work." Oh, that's Jesus talking. "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." If Christ done the Father's work, what kind of work do you think he wants us to do? And he'll lead us into. He says, the very fact we are his workmanship. That means that he's involved in my life. Now remember, as a Christian, you're not your own. You don't belong to you no more. You don't belong to anybody but God. Because he says the very fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, which is in you? Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You and I belong to Him. And now He wants to lead us. And there's not anyone here today that God does not have a special work for. You want to be a prison missionary? You might want to be. But will you last 36 years and still go on? I've got a lot of them that'll come in and work for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. No, that ain't for me. We've even got men that have surrendered to the Rock of Ages and went through all of the training and everything and got out on the road and found out flat tires and all of that stuff is part of the ministry and quit because they didn't want the headaches. They thought everything was going to be hunky-dory. Hey, I want you to know today, God may have to lead you through some difficult places. What does He tell us in the book of Psalms? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Tough times are a-coming, and you and I as an individual have to make up our mind, am I going to live for God? Am I going to follow wholly the way of the Lord? And one of the ways is His working in you, allowing Him to change your life. And so, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm already running past my time. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Look at another one. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walking worthily, it indicates acting appropriately in our life as a Christian. Appropriately. How did Pilate see Jesus? Boy, he's guilty? No. Listen, he said, no, nor yet Herod, for I send you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. That's why it tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, he says he's worthy to receive all of the honor and the glory. And so, are we worthy of what God's called us to do? Are we doing the best we can with what we know as an individual? Walking worthy. You see, in order to walk worthy, you're going to have to follow holy. Because it's Him that I'm following and not me. And so, we must walk worthy. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Notice verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. We can't walk like our old friends do. We can't walk like our neighbors do, living a loose lifestyle, trying to compromise my position as a Christian with them. We've got to walk in, not like them, but again, walking in the Lord, following holy. And like I say, narrow-mindedness. It's easy to compromise, but once we compromise, guess what? It's tough getting that reputation back. You've seen this week the Duggar family and what's happened there, and just something that took place when he was 12 years old has now destroyed their television program, their reputation. Hey, it don't take much. That's why I've got to follow holy in my walk as a Christian. Because I don't belong to myself no more. I belong to the Lord, and I need to walk worthy. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. Chapter 5 and verse 2. Notice he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Walking in love. Just write down 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And you'll find out what he says about love. Of course, if your old King James Version Bible, he uses the word charity, which indicates that it is a selfless love. It's not thinking about me. It's thinking about others. And so it's a selfless love. But if you read verses 1 through 3, you'll find out that you can accomplish much, but if it's not done out of charity or God's love, it's empty. And so, am I walking in the love of Christ? Am I doing what God wants me to do and loving it? I love the prison ministries. I feel as at home in there as I do in this church. I'm not afraid to walk in there amongst the men. It don't make me any difference. And I've got several men in there that have committed murder, and they're on their way out. It don't bother me a bit. But you and I as an individual need to love those that are around us with an unconditional love. How many times do we put a condition? I love you if you love me. No. Can you imagine? For 28 years, I was without Christ. And even some of the stupidest stuff that I'd done, he still loved me. He didn't ask nothing until he cornered me about being saved. And then I still had a choice of no or yes. I'm sure glad I made the right choice. And the fact is, it happened because he loved me. And so he says, walk in love. Look at verse 8. Notice here he says, for we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Notice, walk as children of the light. Jesus, if you look at John chapter 1, look in there that it says he is the light. And you'll find out how he walked throughout his ministry. And what kind of a walk are you showing in your light? Because remember, he says over in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, ye are the light. And so we're the light in this darkened world that knows not Christ and cares little about him. We still need to hold our candle high so that others can see that, hey, I am a Christian. And like I say, in the days ahead, there's going to be some real tests for the Christian. That's why we need to determine that we're going to wholly follow the Lord. One more. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16. Chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. See then, boy, he's coming down now to the end. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word circumspectly is a dollar word for most people. But it just simply means cautiously. Cautiously. Are you walking cautiously in your Christian life? We're coming to a point. Somebody was mentioning people in some of the countries are now having to worship not in a building, but outside someplace. And I read the other day that they can't live openly in a worship service. They can't sing. openly. And so you know what they're doing? Worshiping silently. They are learning to lip read. They sing. You know what I was saying. They're having to do that their entire service. Worshiping silently. He reads the Bible silently. And yet, they leave there excited because they're worshiping the Lord. When the rubber begins to meet the road in a Christian's life, we're going to have to really walk cautiously. And he says, redeeming the time, that means I'm going to make every minute count for the Lord. Because our time is not our time. Our time is His time. And He wants us to use it wisely. And so, as we begin to think, a Christian has a great responsibility when he says, take up his cross and follow me. Are you willing to walk with him wholly? Now, I'm not talking about H-O-L-Y. I'm talking about W-H-O-L-L-Y, which means my entire being is going to follow Him. It will be a divider one of these days. It'll be a divider. But those that are following wholly the Lord are going to be able to encourage one another to find strength to go on. And keep on going. We could give you all kinds of illustrations from things that are happening in other countries. Christians are having to stand and not deny the fact that they're a Christian. I don't know all of the things, what ISIS is looking for when they kill Christians in Iraq and these areas, I don't know, because some of the doctrinal standards of the Christian faith, so-called Christian faith in those countries, are not Bible-based, but yet they're willing to die for their faith. Are you and I willing? If there was a group of soldiers enter into this auditorium right now and line us up on the wall and say, I understand you say you're a Christian. If you don't deny the fact you are, we're going to kill you right now. What decision would you make? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I don't have to pray about this. I already know. Go ahead, throw me in that fiery furnace. Well, it was the boys that threw them in became crispy critters. But the boys that were walking in there, can you imagine? Air conditioned in the middle of a furnace that's been heated 17 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. Can you imagine the king's eyes? I mean, you talk about dinner plates. That boy didn't know what to think. And when they brought him out, all of the bonds were melted off, and there wasn't a hair singed in their body, air conditioned. Boy, God's able.
Amen.
And He'll do it for you and I as an individual. I don't care who we are, if we'll walk wholly following the Lord. And that's a determination that you and I are going to be faced with more and more between now and 2016. But I don't care who gets in the White House. The problem is still in the church house because Christians are not living a Christ like life. And I just want you to live Christ-like. Even in the time of the most difficulties that we're going to face in the days ahead. You be much in prayer for those supreme justices as they make the decision concerning gay marriage in America. As I said this morning, if you saw the news of how the people felt in Ireland, and you looked at any of the pictures that was on the TV, it was all of the young people below the ages of 30 that were, hallelujah, glory to God, we can do what we want to. And the sad part was, there was some people, they looked like they was over 60, I mean, my age, standing there kissing each other. Men, men, and women, women. Hey, how long is it going to be before God gets tired of it? Yeah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. Are we there yet? No. No. Because if we was, we'd be already gone. Amen. But some way God is tolerant. Somebody said the other day, God's going to have to apologize. No, God don't have to apologize to nobody. It's His plan. He will take the time that it takes to bring the last soul to the saving knowledge of Christ, and He will be with you and I as an individual if we are walking wholly following the Lord. But that's going to have to be a determination on your part. Whether you're here today, a young lady or young man, or a senior, anywhere in between, it is a personal decision that you make. As an individual, wholly following the Lord. Caleb said, I wholly followed. Boy, the promise paid off. His living for the Lord paid off because it says, give me that mountain. And boy, he got that mountain. Because God saw he was wholly following him. And that's our decision. Let's bow our heads.